Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to be in Revelation chapter 9 again, beginning with verse 13. The angels from the Euphrates. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, sulfur yellow, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And verse 21, they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So in the first woe, we see the release of the demons out of the abyss as locusts. But at this sixth trumpet, we see the second woe out of three woes. In verse 13, it says, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now remember, the earthly tabernacle was a pattern of the heavenly. And so in heaven, there is an altar of incense. And that's that golden altar that's being spoken of here. It represents prayer. Remember, the prayers of the saints would be offered, right? The priest would offer prayers at this altar of incense before he went behind the veil into the most holy place. So it represents prayer, and the mention of the golden altar, which is before God, links this judgment that we're about to read about to the prayers of God's people. You see, we are to pray in agreement with the Father's will. God has a plan, and God is going to complete and fulfill his plan just like he said he would, and it's going to be exactly how he said it would be. But God has partnered with you and I, with mankind, so that we would intercede, okay, according to his will, that his will would be accomplished. So God partners with his church to accomplish his purposes in the earth. And so the sixth trumpeter releases these four angels. Now, they're possibly demons because they were bound at the great river Euphrates. In verse 14, it's saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who were bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now, they had been kept there until this very hour, this specific time. They were held in readiness for the time when they would be commanded to go forth and to kill a third of mankind. So the angel receives his command, and then to what? To loose the four bound fallen angels from the voice from the four horns on the altar. Now, what is the voice from the four horns on the altar? Well, it would have to be the voice of the Lord, who is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven's armies. Amen. So the angels are considered an army, God's army. The hosts are the army of God, the angelic hosts. And as these four angels are loose, then John sees something. He sees an army, a great army, extending across the horizon as far as the eye can see, 200 million. And in verse 16, it says the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. Now, note the Euphrates, which flowed from the Garden of Eden, remember, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, is where evil first entered the world. It's from that region. Think about it. The first sin of man took place where? At the Euphrates. The first murder took place there, Cain and Abel. This is the same location where the Tower of Babel was erected. That was the first rebellion. And the Jews were also carried away as captives to Babylon in this area. So a lot has happened in that area. And that is where these four angels were bound until this specific time, appointed time. So God has a set time for every event that will take place upon the earth in the last days. Why? Because God is on the throne and he is in control. And once these judgments are set in motion, nothing can stop them from happening. It doesn't matter what man tries to do or Satan tries to do. Everything will happen according to God's plan. And 1/3 of mankind was killed by this army. Now you think about it. Add the 1/4 previously killed, and you have over half of the earth's population wiped out by this time. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. So what we see here is the underworld making war on mankind. That which was in the earth being released upon the earth to do warfare against mankind. Now the prophet Joel spoke of this as well. A time of fire that's going to be on the earth. In Joel chapter 2 verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Now look at verse 18. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents having heads, and with them they do harm. So this is some kind of demonic entity, you know, an army of these entities that come up and they are used for judgment upon the world of the ungodly. But again, as we mentioned before, even last week, how God is merciful and God is not willing that anyone should perish. And God gives mankind opportunity after opportunity to repent and turn to him, amen, and renounce his sinful ways and to follow the Lord. And so that's why God doesn't wipe us all out instantaneously, all at one time. Why? Because God wants people to be saved. But he has set a time for judgment. And we don't know when those set times come. The same thing is true with our nation today. There is coming a time when God will and is to some degree already judging America. I believe for the purpose of hopefully waking up the people of America, waking up the church in America, his people, the ones called by his name. Amen. So that we will get together with God again and partner with God. Amen. And cry out for his mercy because God wants to be merciful. But because God is just, he's a just judge. When a transgression takes place, occurs, then there is to be punishment for that transgression because he is a righteous judge. So when we break his laws, we become guilty and we deserve punishment. However, this is the good news, is that Jesus already paid the price for that judgment. Amen. God judged sin on the Lord. So there is a way of escape through Jesus, and only through Jesus, only through the blood of the Lamb can we be forgiven. But a person must come to God honestly and repentant and be willing to turn to God, to the only one who can save, to repent of his sins. And then God is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse and no longer hold those things against us. You see, God was the one that took the initiative, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved us even when we were yet in sin. But because he is a righteous judge, there must be a penalty for the breaking of his laws. And that's why Jesus came, amen, to become sin for us, our sin offering. God laid upon him once again the iniquity of us all so that we could go free Hallelujah. But people who refuse the love of the truth, who refuse the offer of God's pardon, they will get what they asked for. They will not be able to stand in the judgment because sin will not be tolerated in heaven. Nothing that defiles will be able to enter into heaven. Only those whose robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb will be qualified, amen, to be in God's presence. That's why people need the Lord and need to understand that they can't save themselves through their own good works. They must turn to the only one who can save. In Malachi chapter 4, it says, "Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. And all the proud..." Who are the proud? The proud are the ones that will not bow their knee to God. "Yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And that in the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch." Now, these demonic creatures are unlike anything witnessed upon the earth prior to this time. And yet, it's interesting how even after these judgments, men still refuse to repent. Verse 20, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of what? Their murders, sorceries, sexual immorality, or their thefts." Now, 1 John 3 and verse 14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." So we know it's more than just the physical act of murder, but hatred in the heart is equal to murder in God's sight and must be repented of. Remember, we talked about forgiving others, releasing others, amen, not holding grudges, not holding on to offenses, amen. As Christ in his mercy forgave us, so now we must go and do likewise towards one another. Jesus said in the last days, Matthew 24, verse 10, here it is again, "Then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another." Do we not see that happening now? The love of many growing cold. God, don't let our hearts become hardened, amen. But keep the love light going, amen. Keep your stay full of the oil of God, amen. And don't allow the enemy to get any of his darts into you to stick, amen. You're going to get stuck once in a while, but you don't have to carry them around, amen. Deal with it right away, hallelujah. Take it to the throne. Praise the Lord. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. Amen. Do the opposite. Overcome evil with good. So we see here in verse 20 and 21, there's five major sins during that time. Now we see these things already in our world. So we know that we're getting close to the end. It's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. Number one is occultism. Listen to God's warning. Leviticus 19, verse 31, "Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God." Don't go to seances. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't go to psychics. Don't lean on or rely on any other spirits except the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. Amen. Leviticus 20 and verse 6 says, "And the person who turns to mediums and familiar spirits to prostitute himself with them, I will set my face against that person and cut him off from his people." Deuteronomy 18:10, "There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, fortune teller, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer." Deuteronomy 18:11 says, "Or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead," necromancy. There are people who claim they're talking to dead relatives. Verse 12, "For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you." Don't be deceived by familiar spirits. They may even appear as somebody familiar to you. Family sometimes, you know. The devil impersonates people that you may love and that you've known. We have to be very careful that we talk to the Lord, amen? May we go through Jesus Christ and Him only to the Father, amen? The Bible never tells us to pray to angels, and yet people do that. Many children's books today, toys, games, theme parks, whole theme parks are filled with these very things, magic. You know, anything that is not under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, any kind of power that's being exercised that's not under His authority, amen, is witchcraft. It's illegal, amen. It's an evil magic, and that comes from Satan, amen, because he's rogue. He doesn't submit to God. He has been given, okay, he does have power, but he uses it illegally. He uses it apart from God's authority. Whatever we do in word and deed, we should do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And we need to stay under the authority of God. We need to be led of the Spirit. Amen? Because we are accountable for what we do. And a lot of people are looking for power, for fame, for money, to get ahead. So they're looking to the occult, they're looking to witchcraft, they're looking to Satanism, they're looking to spiritism, they're looking to all kinds of other alternatives other than the Lord, amen, to give them power and ability to where they can make money through, you know, magic arts. You especially see that now happening in Las Vegas. That's not all sleight of hand that's going on over there anymore, amen. There's a lot of demon magic going on right now. They're using this demonic power to do things that are just absolutely impossible. There's no sleight of hand, no smoking mirrors, no, none of that. They have tapped in and they're relying on spirits to do things that will just amaze people, and people will give them money to see their shows. And the bottom line of Satan is he wants us to draw attention to ourselves and not to God. He wants us to make it about us and not about God. He wants you to believe that somehow you're your own God and you don't need to submit to God's authority. For he said to Adam and Eve, well, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall be as God, knowing both good and evil. You don't have to listen to God. You can be your own God. And this is the bait that hooks people, because there's no protection outside of the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. People may think that they've got this thing under control, but the enemy just baits them to draw them in deeper. And the day comes when the enemy turns on them. Payday does come. So God is telling these people, you need to repent of these things while you have opportunity. I marvel at how many... Even Christian parents are not aware that their children are wearing occultic t-shirts and playing with occultic toys. And yeah. Where's the discernment? A lot of cutesy things that are being presented, you know, as just innocent children's toys are actually occult, you know, symbols and toys that have, people have cursed, and their children are taking them into their toy box or into their home. I can give you one very obvious one, and that's the unicorn. The unicorn is the symbol of the New Age Christ. Everybody thinks, well, that's just a cute little unicorn with all the pretty colors and the horn. But you see, what the devil does is he takes what God has made and he perverts it somehow. Horses with wings, you know, half man, half horse. They're starting to monkey even in the natural with those things again, trying to cross, you know, human with animals. Yeah. Transhumanism. Another one of the sins that are being mentioned here that men refuse to repent of is murder. And of course, we talked about that. It's hatred in the heart. And you know, the Bible says in the days of Noah that the earth was filled with violence. Genesis 6:11, the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And of course, the same thing is true today in our world, even to the degree that murder becomes sport in some places. We see terrorism and we see pleasure killing. I don't know if you've witnessed any of these things, but sometimes even they'll warn you and show you some stuff on the news where they're like, looks like they're having a great time cutting somebody's head off. They'll have a smile, a very demonic smile on their face while they're doing that. You know, they're being deceived. They're thinking they're doing God a favor when they're doing the opposite of what God would want from them, because He, our God, amen, the Most High God, the Creator God, is the author of life. Another sin that will be very prevalent is what we see also going on around the world, especially in America. We see the drugs, the sorceries. The word sorcery means pharmakia. English is where we get the word pharmacy, right? And the literal meaning of the Greek is enchantment with drugs. So it's drug abuse and witchcraft combined. In modern terms, we can call it getting high. So we're witnessing the disintegration of our society because of drug usage, right? Alcohol is also a drug, and drugs are really an idol. It's another god that people bow down to, that they worship, that they submit to, that they give themselves over to, that they sacrifice themselves to. And there are drug cultures, psychedelic, you know, cults and religions, and the use of psychedelic drugs in occult practices is nothing new, right? Drug addiction is also a form of idolatry again. Another one that's mentioned here, of course, is fornication, sexual immorality. It is every conceivable, you know, the practice of every conceivable sex sin is going on now. And now they're trying to make just about anything legal anymore. Stealing, which is the general word for theft. Now, you think about pharmakia, you think about drugs. Well, what do you have to do to feed the habit? You got to steal to feed the dragon, you know. So we see all these things happening. We see that things are winding up. But simultaneously, we also see that God is moving right now in our midst. He's moving in the earth. He's looking for available vessels. He's looking for those who will be sold out to Him, fully submitted to Him. Amen. Because God wants to work mightily through our lives to be a blessing to others around us, to do mighty exploits for Him. But so don't focus on all the negative and the bad. It's easy enough to find, to see. Focus on what God is doing and partner with Him. Ask the Lord, say, Lord, I see what's going on over here, but what are you doing about this? And how can I partner with you to be a world changer, to be a change in, at least in my world where I live, to affect change? You see what I'm saying? Because if we're just focusing on the brokenness and we're focusing on the wrong, you know, we can easily become discouraged and hopeless. But we need to focus on what the Lord is doing. That's why we're supposed to keep our minds, our affections set on things above where Christ is. Amen. And heaven, keep heaven in your head, if you will, and in your heart, right? So keep your focus in the right direction. I don't know what I did with my glasses here, but they're all so smudged I can hardly see through them. Okay. Anyways, that wasn't part of the teaching. But here, how about some good news? 1 John 3 and verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Ha. What are we called to do? Destroy the works of the devil. We need to tackle those giants that would stand in our way, right? Second Peter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Yeah. So thank God that he is merciful. Thank God that he is patient, even with us. But we love the Lord. And therefore we want to please the Lord. We don't want to do those things that grieve his heart. Hallelujah. So, 1 Thessalonians 5:9, I want us just to remind us of this again. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, guys, we should not be on the earth during this time. I don't believe that the bride of Christ is appointed to these types of judgments. I believe that this is for those who are still here and remain after the Lord has caught up his people, his church, to be with him. God has given those who remain an opportunity during this time. Now, I know, well, if the Holy Spirit isn't here, how can they be convicted? Well, there's going to be the gospel. The Bible says that an angel is going to, you know, be preaching the gospel around the globe. So God's going to make sure that people know and they have an opportunity. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And Luke 15 and verse 7, Jesus said, "I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner," right, "who repents, and over 99 just persons who need no repentance." So this is God's heart. God wants to see people, you know, turn to him, because we were born corrupt. We can't save ourselves. The only hope we have is in Jesus Christ. But if a person refuses to turn to God in repentance, then there's no hope for that person, because judgment day is coming. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. But the Lord was offered up for us. The Lord laid down his life for us. Amen. So that we didn't have to try to carry our sins. Amen. Because there's nothing we can do. There's not enough good we can do to outweigh the bad that we've done. Because who we are is worse than what we've done. Who we are naturally is worse than anything we've done. We were born as corrupted seed. That's why we must be born again. We must receive the new nature of God. Amen. We must have the seed of Christ in us. Amen. Christ in you is the hope of glory. If anyone does not have the Son of God, he does not have life. But if we have Christ, amen, then we have life. Hallelujah. So comfort one another. Encourage one another. And I remind myself when I see all the stuff that's going on, the craziness that's going on, I just remember that, you know what? The Lord's coming and the Lord's going to deal with it. They're not going to get away with it. They're not getting away with anything. Every sin, every transgression, everything is in the book. The only escape is to throw yourself down at the mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. And say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And God will be merciful. He will be faithful to forgive you. Amen. And just to forgive you. Hallelujah. If people are willing to do that, hallelujah, they can be saved. But not everybody will be saved. And I don't believe the majority will be saved, as some may say. Because Jesus said, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go therein. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few." Yeah. So therefore, Jesus is the only way. Amen. We call upon him. We trust in him, and don't worry about a thing. God's got it. All right? How many believe that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior? Amen? Amen. How many believe that God is doing a work in the earth today? How many believe that God wants to bring revival and an awakening even to America? So let's stand in the gap and continue to believe. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I've been experiencing and noticing that there's been the water level, amen, of God's glory is beginning to come up. Hallelujah. But we need to keep pressing in, amen. because we want God to release everything that He wants to release. But He puts the pen in our hands and we need to fill out the check. Amen. And we need to make a withdrawal. Come on, somebody. From our heavenly account. And that means everybody needs to be praying. Amen. That we're going to have revival here. We're going to have revival in us, in our families. Amen. In our community, and let it spread across America. God can do it and God wants to do it, but He's waiting on you and I to get into position for Him to work through us to accomplish His purposes. Hallelujah. He's looking for someone whose heart will be loyal towards Him. Hallelujah. So bless the Lord. No matter what happens in the days to come, amen, God with us, God for us. No worries, okay?